From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Presidential Chief of Staff Muldoko conveys the impact of the IK and Brunei fast train plan. Indonesian humanitarian aid for Palestine arrives in Egypt. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now with the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Presidential Chief of Staff Muldoko stated that Brunei Darussalam's plan to build a high-speed train to the national capital IKN of Nusantara has a positive and negative impact. This was affirmed by Muldoko in Jakarta on Thursday. The presence of the fast train is a good idea in an effort to connect the human and goods transportation sector from Indonesia to Brunei Darussalam, as well as the crossing countries. He added that the presence of land transportation modes in state border areas always brings a dilemma. One side is positive, but there is also a negative side. It makes it easier to smuggle weapons, drugs, and people without scrutiny. Apart from the negative side, Muldoko remarked that the presence of the Brunei Darussalam IKN fast train can bring great benefits to the economic sector and its supply chain in an effort to strengthen existing relations between countries. The Indonesian government's humanitarian assistance for Palestine arrived at Cairo International Airport, Egypt, on Thursday at 10 a.m. local time. The humanitarian aid arrived in Cairo after flying for approximately 12 hours using a Garuda Indonesia A330-900 aircraft. The head of BNPB, Suharyanto, symbolically handed over humanitarian aid to representative of the Egyptian Ministry of Health. In a press release on Friday, he hoped that the assistance provided through the Egyptian government can be beneficial for the Palestinian people due to the conflict in Gaza region. He also hopes that this delivery of aid can strengthen relations between Indonesia and Egypt. Meanwhile, representative of the Egyptian Ministry of Health expressed their gratitude to the Indonesian government for supporting their country's efforts to help Palestinians. The humanitarian aid is worth 15.1 billion rupiah, consisting of medicines, medical devices, logistics, and other goods. The Regional National Craft Council of Hulu Sungai Tengah Regency Dekranasda HST of South Kalimantan Province is trying to strengthen the quality of the small and medium-sized industry IKM of Purun Woven Craft in Walutung Village so that it can penetrate the international market. Head of the Dekranasda HST, Cherry Bayuni Bujangin Hulu Sungai Tengah Thursday said that apart from woven Purun crafts, Dekranasda HST had introduced IKM craft in the form of marble products to the international market at the largest craft exhibition in ASEAN, the International Handicraft Trade Fair in Accra 2024 at the Jakarta Convention Center last February. These marble products are able to attract visitors because they have the characteristic of the local culture of Hulu Sungai Tengah Regency. Therefore, his site is committed to supporting and strengthening the SME sector because apart from having international market potential, it also improves the economic welfare of the community. The national airline PT Garuda Indonesia, GIAA, officially serves the direct flight route Jakarta-Doha-Qatar round trip starting Wednesday, with the first flight successfully carrying at least 272 passengers. The direct Jakarta-Doha return flights is operated through a code-share collaboration with Qatar Airways, providing daily services using a Boeing B777-300ER fleet. President Director of GIAA, Irfania Putra, in Jakarta on Friday said that the direct flight route Jakarta-Doha is a form of representations of the company's commitment of as the nation's flag carrier airline to provide added value to the community. With the inauguration of this flight route, he hopes it will provide various choices for service users, considering that Doha is one of the transit hubs for foreign tourists from the Middle East, which is also connected to Europe and America. The flight is scheduled to depart from Soekarno-Hatta International Airport at 18:20 Western Indonesia time and arrived at Hamad Doha International Airport at 2300 hours local time. Let's move on to the international news, where Israel will allow temporary aid deliveries via its border with the northern Gaza Strip. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office announced on Friday, hours after warning from U.S. President Joe Biden, Israel will allow the temporary delivery of humanitarian aid through Ashdod and the Erez checkpoint, referring to a port about 40 kilometers or 25 miles north of Gaza and a land crossing. Thus, increased aid will prevent a humanitarian crisis and is necessary to ensure the continuation of the fighting and to achieve the goals of the war. The announcement comes as international pressure mounts on Israel after it took responsibility for a strike that killed 7 employees of U.S.-based charity World Central Kitchen. In a tense 30-minute call with Netanyahu on Thursday, Biden describes the Israeli strike as unacceptable and called for an immediate ceasefire. He also made clear that U.S. policy will be determined by Israel's taking specific concrete and measurable steps to address civilian harm, humanitarian suffering, and the safety of aid workers. Taiwanese rescue teams worked Thursday to save scores of people trapped in a highway tunnel as technicians began a massive cleanup operation a day after the island's biggest earthquake in a quarter of a century. Reported by AFP, rescue teams learned of the presence of dozens of people trapped in a network of heavily built tunnels, which cut through beautiful mountains and cliffs towards Hualien City from the north and west. 10 people died and nearly 1,100 people were injured in the 7.4 magnitude earthquake that occurred on Wednesday. Residents of the worst-hit city, Hualien, spent the night outdoors and a massive operation was carried out to repair damaged roads and shore up leaning buildings. Iran's Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei Thursday mourned the death of 7 members of the Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps in an attack in Damascus, Syria. Quoted by AFP, state media reported that he blamed Israel and vowed to punish it. The dead members included 2 generals killed in an airstrike Monday that leveled the consular building of Iran's embassy in Damascus. Khamenei, flanked by military top brass, took part in a ceremony in the capital Tehran, where he was leading prayers for the dead. IRNA news agency said the funeral ceremony took place in Tehran on Friday, coinciding with the annual commemorations of Al-Quds Day, when Iran and its allies hold a march in support of Palestine. Earlier, Khamenei said Iran has vowed to avenge Israel and make them regret these and other crimes. Listen, and let's move on to commentary.
Today's commentary is on South Korean legislative elections and fake information. South Korean legislative elections will be held on April the 10th to elect 300 members of parliament or the National Assembly. The election comes nearly 2 years after conservative president Yoon Suk-yeol won the 2022 presidential election, defeating Democrat Lee Ji-myung by a margin of 0.73%. According to predictions, the legislative elections in April 2024 will be very tight. The 2 major parties, namely the ruling People's Power Party or PPP and the opposition Democratic Party DP, are ready to engage in a fierce battle to win the most seats in parliament. The ruling PPP is very intent on achieving victory in the upcoming elections. For this party, it is necessary to win a majority of parliamentary seats so that government policies can run smoothly without obstruction from the opposition. So far, the government policies have been often obstructed by the opposition in parliament, which dominates the assembly. Meanwhile, the opposition party, which narrowly lost the 2022 presidential election, wants to win this April's election to maintain its majority in the assembly. Even though it is only to elect representatives to the National Assembly, this election seems to be a battle between President Yoon Suk-yeol and the chairman of the Democratic Party, Lee Jae-myung, as the previous presidential election. For President Yoon Suk-yeol, winning a majority of parliamentary seats needs to be achieved to support his strategic policies. So far, they have not received legislative or National Assembly support because the opposition controls almost 60% of all parliamentary seats. If he fails to achieve a parliamentary majority, then strategic policies in the remaining 2 years of Yoon's leadership will be hampered by the opposition in parliament. This election will also be a reality test for the Democratic Party main opposition leader, Lee Jae-myung. Success in this election could provide the momentum needed to confirm his renomination in the 2027 presidential election. 2 major parties are carrying out campaigns to attract the sympathy of the South Korean people. Unfortunately, the implementation of the campaign was overshadowed by the problem of false information. According to Yonhap News Agency, as of March the 18th, there were more than 400 allegations of criminal activity related to the election, with 676 people named as suspects. Of the total number of cases, 352 cases involved the spread of false information. With less than a week to go before South Korea's parliamentary elections on April the 10th, authorities have vowed to take firm action against anyone who tries to influence the election results by spreading false information. Firm action against spreaders of false information needs to be taken because false information in any country, including South Korea, has significant implication for the integrity of elections. False information prevents voters from making decisions based on factual information. That was commentary.
Well, Israel, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, we begin today in history with the event of 5th April 1936, tornadoes in the United States kill hundreds of people. On 5th April 1939, a tornado hit Tupelo City in Mississippi, the United States. This tornado had a magnitude of 5, the greatest strength of the Fujita scale. It killed up to 216 people and injured approximately 700, making it one of the deadliest tornadoes in the United States. In fact, it was one of several tornadoes that hit the southeastern United States from the same day to the next day. The tornadoes, which affected 4 states in the United States, killed at least 454 people and injured around 2,500 people. Turning to 5th April 1950, Andi Aziz Rebellion in Makassar. The Andi Aziz Rebellion was a resistance effort carried out by Andi Aziz, a former officer in the Dutch East Indies Armed Forces. At the time, he tried to maintain the existence of the state of East Indonesia, a state in the United Republic of Indonesia, which was founded after the Round Table Conference in 1949. Because it was reluctant to join the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. On April 5, 1950, Andi Aziz troops attacked the headquarters of the Indonesian National Army in Makassar, South Sulawesi. His troops also occupied important objects such as airfields and telecommunications offices. The Indonesian government at the time finally succeeded in crushing Andi Aziz's troops on April 15, 1950. We end today in history with 5th April 1994, Kurt Cobain dies. Kurt Cobain was an American musician who was a songwriter, vocalist, guitarist, and founder of the rock band Nirvana. Kurt Cobain's musical career skyrocketed thanks to the number of songs sung by Nirvana, especially from their second album Nevermind, which was released in 1991. Kurt Cobain died on April 5, 1994, due to suicide at his home in Seattle, United States. However, his death was only discovered 3 days later by an electrician who was about to install a security system in his house. Kurt Cobain died at the age of 27. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Then you
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on Indonesia grants 6.5 billion rupiah to Laos for ASEAN Chairmanship 2024. The Indonesian government, through the Indonesian aid, granted 6.5 billion rupiah to support Laos in the ASEAN Chairmanship 2024, especially in the ASEAN finance process. The grant was aimed to give technical support for the Laosian financial ministry officials in preparing the ASEAN meeting 2024. Deputy Minister of Finance Suhasil Nazara, in his statement as quoted by Antara on Thursday, said the support was not only showing a tight cooperation commitment between Indonesia and Laos, but also affirming the importance to continue the partnership. He also explained that in the ASEAN chairmanship last year, Indonesia and some initiatives that still need to be continued in the ASEAN Chairmanship 2024, particularly in finance, such as collaboration in the financial and health sector, or ASEAN Joint Finance and Health Ministerial Meeting, and the ASEAN Treasury Forum. Besides, Indonesia's commitment in the ASEAN finance process is also realized by supporting the formulation of substantial matters and logistic management. In the execution, Indonesia aid joins hands with the Finance Ministry's Fiscal Policy Agency. Later, in the ASEAN Chairmanship 2024, Laos as the chair is responsible to formulate the Priority Agenda Chairmanship 2024 and also to continue mandated agendas. The Indonesian government's support to Laos is also expected to allow cooperation in ASEAN finance to create agreements that encourage financial stability and integrity in the region, while strengthening economic growth amid COVID-19 post-pandemic challenges, namely connectivity, sustainability, and responsibility from ASEAN. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
You know you're everything to me, and I could never see the two. You know I give myself to you, and no matter what you do, I promise you my heart. I build my world around you, and I want you to know I need you like I've never needed anyone before. If there's only one
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, when you hunt for culinary delights to break the fast in Indonesia, you will find a dish called kolak in many regions in Indonesia. It is generally made from bananas, sweet potatoes, cooked with coconut milk and palm sugar. Kolak is a favorite dish for Indonesian people. Although it is found in almost every region in Indonesia, each region has different types and tastes of kolak. For example, in Aceh, you will find a variant of kolak called bulukat kuah tuhei, a typical Acehnese banana compote which is delicious. Bulukat is what Acehnese call cooked sticky rice. The dish is made from bulukat, banana pieces, jackfruit pieces, white sugar, and pandan leaves mixed with coconut milk sauce. The banana used is a special type of banana, namely Western clad banana, a type of plantain. Listener, making bulukat kuah tuhe is almost the same as making kolak in general. It's just that the sticky rice is cooked separately from the sauce. To make the sauce, coconut milk is cooked with banana pieces, jackfruit pieces, pandan leaves, and sugar. The color of the sauce is pale white because it uses granulated sugar, not palm sugar. When served, bulukat is drizzled with the sauce. When you eat it, you can immediately smell the aroma of pandan leaves. The taste is savory, sticky, and sweet. Listener, bulukat kuah tuhe is available not only in the month of Ramadan, but also at the Prophet Muhammad's birthday and various kanduri, a Javanese ritual of blessing or remembrance events in Aceh. Bulukat kuah tuhe is never forgotten because this food can strengthen brotherhood. It is said that this dish is believed to bring blessings and avoid wrath. For those of you who are interested in trying the bulukat kuah tuhe culinary delights, you can enjoy it according to your taste. If you don't really like bulukat or sticky rice, you can just enjoy kuah tuhunya, gravy, or even added with appam. Appam is a traditional food made from rice flour and coconut milk shaped like a bowl. Well, listener, that was My Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany. VOI listeners, 6 game developers from Indonesia joined the Game Developer Conference in Moscone Center, San Francisco, United States on March 18 to the 22nd, 2024. Game Developer Conference is the biggest game conference in the world, with various activities starting from education to exhibition, showcasing the cutting-edge technology in the game industry, as well as games from across the planet. In the prestigious conference, A Space for the Unbound, made by Mojikan Studio Surabaya, East Java, Indonesia, was nominated for the Social Impact Award in the Game Developers' Choice Award. This prestigious nomination put the game in the same level with other famous games such as Assassin's Creed Mirage and Baldur's Gate 3. And it's also a recognition for Indonesian games that bring positive impact for the people. The game has lots of Indonesian people's culture and social aspects. One of the foods in the game was cimol, a popular street food in Indonesia made from tapioca flour. Listener, A Space for the Unbound is about two lovers named Atma and Raya. Atma is a normal high schooler, while Raya has a mysterious power. In their daily life, an extraordinary anomaly happens among the two. Atma wants to solve problems in the city and seeks the cause, while Raya wants to spend time with Atma. In 2023, the game was also nominated in the Game Awards 2024. A Space for the Unbound was nominated for Games for Impact, a category for games deemed successful in bringing meanings or pro-social messages. Well, listener, that's today's miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Sang mata memikat melambungkan asmara yang selalu meminta mengulur senja menanti datang sang pemilik hati rela menanti sejak terbit mentari tak sabar isi di hati ceriakan sanubari dan bercumbu di ujung hari indahnya kisah kasih kita di masa remaja di bawah rayu senja kita di madu bermanja. Tiada masa-masa yang lebih indah dari masa remaja seakan dunia milik berdua. Hati terasa merindu tanpa rasa duka berkumandang. Genggam pesona jiwa.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Dear listeners, in today's Music Corner, I'm going to present a regional song from Gayo, Aceh Province, entitled Ilah Ni Ume, or Alarune, Alarunang. Alarune, Alarunang was composed by a poet of Didong Gayo, Item Gamang. Didong is an art which combines elements of dance, vocal, and typical Gayo literature. According to Murshid Sabdin, artist and composer of Gayo songs, Runerunang are words of joy when receiving surprising good news. The lyrics of Alarune Alarunang are very distinctive and taken from Didong poetry, which is an oral tradition of the Gayo people. Here is Alarune Alarunang sung by Abadi Ayus. Enjoy listening to the song.
Ku buka
Voice of Indonesia.
Jadi satu di dalam ikatan percaya. Ini asmaraku, ini asmaramu, tumbuh makin sempurna.
Indonesia.
Now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.